Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, everybody. It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast, and we have got some fun today. We got a great episode coming up. We have Erica Dregetz, the head volleyball coach at Bethel, here to share some ideas with us today. You're going to have a blast. So, Erica, how's everything going?
Things are going well. I love the summer months. I love that the sun is coming out, and I love just the anticipation of a new season coming. So,
Yeah, it is exciting. So, we always release a little after we record. So, right now we are kind of early, mid-May. So, the sun is out, but Bethel is not too far down the road from me. They are just up in South Bend area, Mishawaka area, and the sun is up, but it is not particularly warm yet. we're getting there. We're getting there. So tell me a little bit about what's going on at Bethel. I know you guys are in the off season, but what are we expecting for the upcoming season?
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting season. We have kind of a mix. We have 8 returners going to be back on campus, and then we have 8 newbies coming in with 2 transfers and 6 true freshmen. So it'll really be a interesting season of meshing the old with the new, and just what it looks like to come together to form a team. So I'm really excited about August and what that'll look like, and what we're going to accomplish. So
that is a fascinating leadership challenge. You said you have 8 returners, 8 new, 6 of them are true freshmen. Where are your transfers from? I'm just curious.
One is from South Carolina, a D2 school.
Okay.
And then one is from Indiana University, Columbus, and she'll be coming from the NAIA.
Okay. So you've got quite a mix then. So you have some veterans, some new folks. August 1st is when they are back, ready to rock. You start practice. When's your first game?
We kick off the season in Florida. So we're going second week of August to Sarasota, to New College of Florida, and we'll kick off with 4 games down there.
Wow, well, that's a good recruiting pitch. come to Bethel. We're going to get you down to a little Florida vacation. So that is quick. So basically, you have 2.5 weeks, you know, plus your week of camp here, where they'll get to meet each other. But you have 2.5 weeks to take some wide-eyed incoming freshmen who've been the star their entire life. You know, you don't get to Bethel unless you were an unbelievable high school player. You got 8 returners. Many of them, I'm sure, played a lot last year and are expecting to play. So you got 16 kids. There's 6 spots on a volleyball court. How are you going to get them to blend and connect in 2.5 weeks? That is quite a leadership challenge.
That is a challenge.
That is scary. You don't quit.
I know. Just hearing you say that, I'm like, wow, how am I going to do that? No, I think it takes a lot of intentionality. You know, it's not just being in the gym and working hard. It's being in meetings and building team. We do a lot of mental skills training and culture building in those first 2 weeks of preseason. Yes, we're going to work hard in the gym. We've got 2-a-days, but just learning each other outside of the volleyball court. We do a lot of, you know, like team challenges and just talking through building that culture, because ultimately culture is the foundation of a team. You know, you could have the best volleyball players and bring them together, but they could underperform because they don't trust each other, because they don't love each other, because they don't know anything about each other. And so doing that in a short amount of time really takes intentionality. So that's going to be the challenge in the fall.
Yeah, it's a daunting task. So that's kind of my world outside of like sports. Like, I've spent, you know, the last 15, 20 years speaking on culture, leadership all over the world. And I think everyone uses the word culture. They're like, we're working on our culture. But it's so tricky to define, right? So for a lot of people on the outside, they think culture is a, we do a couple trust falls and two truths and a lie, and magically we're performing well. So what do some of those like activities look like? I mean, the 2 weeks is quick. Like that's not a long time to build some of those relationships. So what do some of those activities look like? And maybe some things that high school and middle school coaches out there might be able to replicate a little.
Yeah, I think, we've, like you said, we all do those like team building activities, but like the culture isn't going to happen by accident. It's the result of what we reinforce, what we allow, what we promote, what we accept each day. And so, obviously setting those standards, like these are our standards, not our rules. They're our standards, and
Love it.
not just me telling them what I expect, but inviting them into building our culture. So things we did last year, we have our starting six, which are our core values. And I didn't just tell them these are our core values. I presented them with these are some things I think are important. What do you like? What do you not like? What needs to be taken out? What needs to be added? And so we sat in a room for about an hour and a half discussing what six words we want to define our team. And last year it boiled down to love, grow, grit, sacrifice, trust, commit. And everyone got a say in those. They got to voice their opinions and decide what we wanted to put in there. And then they got to plead a case for why they want this one instead of another one. And everyone got a voice, but ultimately, like, we chose the words that we wanted to be defined by. So even if
Love
your
it.
word didn't get chosen, it was like you bought in, you heard everyone's opinion, and then you got an opportunity to go forth with these words that we decided. So
It's
that's
awesome.
something that we do. We want to be on the same page with our verbiage. We want to be on the same page with what we expect from each other. And then really just holding each other accountable to our
Yeah.
standards.
Love it.
Like, it's not just something that we're going to talk about one time in our beginning of the year meeting. It's
Right.
something that we're coming back to every week, like every practice sometimes, like reinforcing, like, okay, we said we're going to be trust each other. What does that mean on the volleyball court? Okay, today
Sure.
in practice, we are going to build trust by talking to each other and giving each other information. So,
Love it.
you set the standard at the beginning and then you constantly go back to it. And so
Yeah.
just like they're going to be sick of these words by the end of the year. They're going to be
But
like,
it becomes
get me
almost
away from them.
reflexive, right? At that point, it becomes almost automatic and reflexive. And to me, that's like the bedrock of culture. It is just embedded in the way we think and the way we act. And I think a lesson that some other coaches can take away from that, and that something you guys are doing so effectively, is that it isn't just top down. It isn't, hey, here's the Bethel way, here's the four things we're going to do. By really letting them take ownership of it, I would say that works even at a younger level. Like even with some of my girls, they're in middle school, and a lot of people would think it's too young. We did something very similar. We said, "Look, what is our team going to stand for? What's our motto?" And I'd said, "There's look, I have a couple non-negotiables. Like these are things that we are going to do, but you guys frame it up." And they came up with their motto for the year. Like we lift each other up. Not just physically, someone hits the deck, four teammates picking him up, but also literally, figuratively, with our words. And then when we fell short of that, that's what we came back to. Like, hey, we said we're going to lift each other up. When a teammate makes a mistake or fails, what does that look and sound like? And it's super, super, super powerful because they own it. It's not coach yelling at them. That's the team they want to have. So as you're going through that, I'd say one of the challenges, just as I think from a more of a like a leadership perspective, it's natural group dynamics emerge that your eight returners will be the louder voices in the room. So how are you going to make sure that it's truly 16 girls rather than it's natural for a freshman to just kind of nod and do what they're told, right? So how do we get them all participating?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's true. You know, those freshmen come in with wide eyes and they're like, anything you say, I'm going to do. But
Or
I
the
think
other way, or you get the
that.
one that's like, hey, maybe let's take a breath here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So something unique we do is this summer, what will be happening is they'll already be meeting. So we do something called iron teams, as iron sharpens iron. So I send them home with the, in the summer, give them their workouts, and just trust that they're going to do them. But we know that as college athletes, sometimes your motivation wanes, and so we meet in iron teams. So the girls are split into four different teams, and
Awesome.
they FaceTime weekly starting in June, and just like get to know each other. And that's super helpful for the freshmen because,
That's
you
great.
know, anytime you're coming into a new situation, you don't know what to expect. You don't know the norms. And so they get a chance to just ask questions like, how many workouts did you get in this week? What's challenging about the workouts? What helps you stay motivated? So they're learning each other throughout the summer, which is a great opportunity
That
because
is.
most of my girls are, you know, 2 hours away from each other. We've got a girl coming in from Brazil. We've got a girl coming in from
Wow.
Oregon, you know, and so like they've never met each other before, but they're forming these bonds before we get on campus with
Yeah.
intentionality. So, you know, it starts with general questions. They get asked five questions every week with like a general, like, easy to answer question. And then we get a little bit deeper by the fifth question. And so, I think that is going to allow some of the freshmen and newbies to have a voice coming in because they'll feel a
Sure.
little bit more comfortable when they step on campus. They'll have four people that they
Yeah,
have been
super
talking to
smart.
all summer and have really just, you know, like gotten a little bit more vulnerable. But I
Yeah.
think vulnerability is the key. You know, like I think of myself when I stepped into this role, I was like, okay, I got to fake it till I make it. Like, no one
I
needs to know what I don't
think
know.
we all are to some degree, right?
Yeah. But,
Yeah.
you know, just having those that vulnerability that like,
Sure.
hey, I don't know what to do in this situation. Can you help me out with that? And just having that space where the newbies can feel comfortable asking questions and like being real, because we're all kind of putting on a fake facade, like trying to trick everyone into like seemingly, I know what's going on,
Oh,
you
especially
know, but
athletics, right? It's that veneer of bulletproof confidence, never let them see you down. Yeah, I'm sure.
And they've been the top dog on their team for the
Yes.
past 4 years, and now
Or their
it's a
entire lives. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
a new dynamic, you know, like everyone is good and at a like competitive level. And so, you know, just allowing them to have a space to be vulnerable, and even like my returners, having them model vulnerability, and then even me modeling vulnerability. You know, like I don't have the answer, but let's figure it out together. Or,
It's awesome.
you know, and just letting them see my vulnerable side. I'm a very relational coach. I love to build those relationships and know my players because I feel like then in practice, when I'm asking them to do something hard or something that's going to push them, they know that ultimately I care about them and I wouldn't
Right.
ask them to do something that I know is going to hurt them. They know it's for a purpose and that's why they work so hard because they know that I care about them.
It's kind of an age-old axiom, right? Nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. And you
Exactly.
build that relationship, your players will run through a brick wall for you. So I'm curious, as you set up some of those kind of like miniature teams, I think that works even with like adult learning. Like if I was facilitating for a corporate client with 30 people in the room, we would have some small groups where they'd have discussions, and then we'd take it to the larger. It gives everybody that entry point. I'm assuming that you put some time into kind of splitting up some of your veterans, some of your new folks. I'm assuming you put a little thought into that part of the process, right?
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
each team like has been prayed over, you know,
I
and
love it.
placed. So it's like you got to split up positions. You know, I don't want two DSs in the same group because then they're like, oh, I don't want her to think she like has this over my head. You know, so
For my
setting up
non-volleyball
positions.
people, DS is defensive
defensive
specialist. Yeah,
specialists.
okay. The same for my non-volleyball folks. I learned that one because my daughter came home from practice and she's like, they talked about me being DS. And I was like, I'm a basketball dude. That's like, you gotta help me out. And I was like, really? Because like, you were always a net player. Anyway, okay. All right. Good stuff.
Yeah, so splitting up positions, splitting up returners and newbies, and
Yeah.
then also a lot of my girls room together, so they already know each other. So like splitting up
Good
roommate
luck.
groups, as
Smart.
well, so that you're not just, I mean, everyone's going to have a natural better connection with certain players on the team,
No, sure.
but then kind of forcing them to get out of their comfort zone a little bit. Like my
I love
best
it.
friends are not in this group, so I have to make a conscious choice to let people know about myself and let people
Yeah,
in.
that's
So
gonna pay such dividends when they come back. So I'm just curious, you had a girl come in from Brazil. How did that happen? I'm
yeah.
assuming you don't have the recruiting budget to like hop to São Paulo for the weekend. So
I did not, unfortunately.
Boom.
But so we work pretty closely with the men's team here at Bethel. And my assistant coach, Maddie, is my assistant. And then in the spring, she's the men's assistant. And so the men's GA is an international and has worked with a lot of international recruiting services. And so she
Okay.
kind of is always looking for good players. And she found this girl and was like, hey, you need to take a look at her. And so we had a conversation with her and, you know, wants to go into nursing. Bethel has a great nursing program
It's
and we
incredible.
allow people to do nursing, which is a really hard major that demands a lot, and
Yeah.
volleyball that demands a lot.
That's
And,
a full load. And I mean, English would be her second language. I'm
yes.
assuming. I mean,
Yeah.
do you know where in Brazil? Like,
She is from Rio de
okay,
Janeiro.
all right. So we'll say tudo bem
Yes.
and muito obrigado, and that's the extent of my Portuguese. So, well, that's just incredible, and what a cool opportunity too. And like we always talk on Play and Faith about just the magic of sports being this incredible dress rehearsal for life. It opens up so many doors. And you know, here she is going to get an unbelievable Christian foundation education, play volleyball onto her career, and it's just really, really, really cool, man. That's so cool. All right, so let's switch gears a little bit. So as we move into the season, you guys play in an extremely competitive conference. You are right down the road from a conference foe that is like just winning national titles casually. There's a couple other programs that are insane. So what's the goals for the 2026 season at Bethel? What's the target?
Yeah.
From a
So,
performance standpoint, obviously, I know we've got larger goals than that, but yeah.
yeah. So, it is a tough conference. The Crossroads League, man,
Unreal.
you got to fight for it. And you play each team twice. And so, like, and sometimes three times when you get to the conference tournament. So, you literally know the other Crossroads League teams like the back of your hand. You know, you scout them and you're like, oh, I've seen this before. But our goal is definitely, last year we struggled with consistency. Our first round, we went 8-2 in the Crossroads League, and won 8 games, which is great. And then the second time we played, we went 2-8, you know,
Wow.
and so it was just a flip. And so our goal this year is to not just be that one hit wonder that wins, a random game because we were playing well that day. But to build on our consistency, we want to beat a Crossroads League team twice in a
Yeah.
season. And so another goal we've had, or my personal goal, is Bethel has won in volleyball the conference. So we've done that, but we've never won the conference tournament. So that is my personal goal. Like, I
All
want
right.
to win the conference tournament and get that automatic bid to the NAIA national first round. So
That's a good goal.
that's, you know, my personal goals as far as playing. And then just growing that consistency. You know, like I said, you can have a good game in volleyball. It's all about momentum, and you could take the W, but having consistently a team that can win, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, I'm already excited for your season. So I'm going to just give you a random observation compliment. I would love to play for you. Obviously, I'm not going to be a girls volleyball player. You have just a contagious, overflowing joy. Like I can see it in your face. You're excited for the season. I imagine that trickles down to your players. So when you're looking at recruiting, even at a very high level that Bethel's playing at, it's an NAIA program. So recruiting budgets are different. It's not Indiana. It's not Notre Dame. You're not scouring the nation on flights. So you have to be a little bit more intentional with your recruiting. Tends to be a little bit more local. There's lots of girls that can play. My daughters play on this little Neva travel circuit. Man, there's hundreds and hundreds of girls that are good. So how do you start honing in on this is a good fit for Bethel? Like, this is a kid that I want to come play with me. Obviously, we'd love to have a bunch of 6'6" hitters driving the ball into the ground. But I mean, when talent is a push, what really sets a kid apart when you're recruiting?
Yeah, so I'm a former middle, which is a middle hitter, middle blocker. And so I love finding kids, especially middles, that I see a ton of potential in, a ton of skills that I can't necessarily teach. So I can't teach height. I can't teach, like how high you can jump. It can improve.
Sure, there's some plyos and some weight training, but then some of it is gifted from God, right? Sure.
Yeah, like athleticism, speed, like there are natural things that, like someone who's going to be a hard worker, they've had that work ethic their whole life. Like those are things that I'm looking for because I can teach the skills of volleyball. I can teach you how to turn and hit to the your left and your right. I can teach you how to see a block in front of you. But there are just some skills that like first and foremost, you gotta have a good work ethic. In this day and age, sometimes it's frowned upon if you get pushed out of your comfort zone. But like, I want you to have a good work ethic. You're gonna be the first one that's like, hey, I want extra reps. I want to get better. That desire to get better. Because I could teach you all the skills, but if you don't have that desire to elevate your game and grow, then my words are just going to be in one ear, out the other.
So before we move on, let me ask you a quick question. So with work ethic, right? I think every coach says that, and we all get it. And once they show up, it's pretty obvious. What are some things that you're doing in that recruiting process to know, right? Because you can watch a kid play and get tricked because they bring it on game day. So how do you know a kid has the work ethic that's required to succeed at Bethel and play for you?
So one thing I look for is when they're not on the court, when they're on the bench, are they continually talking and encouraging teammates on the court? Are they giving information to them? Like, or are they just like standing there with their arms crossed? Like, are they genuinely in the game when they're not on the court? Do they know the score on the bench? Are they like what is their facial expression? So all things matter, like on a game day, not just what you're doing on the court, but what you're doing off the court. And
Sure.
then just like you can see how they warm up too. Like are they just going through the motions and like getting warm, or are they like getting warm and getting their mind ready
Yeah,
as they're
like
getting ready to
I'm
play?
ready to compete, I'm ready to play, I'm hyping up my teammates, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. And so those are just a few things I look for, especially when I'm on the recruiting trail.
Have you ever run into a situation where kid had the talent? When you watch them play, you see some game film and academically they qualify, but you decided to pass because there were some work ethic or maybe character concerns?
Definitely, and that's why I do my diligence and like talk to coaches that have coached them in the past. I, Try and find a common person that we know that can speak for this person. And because ultimately, like if they're looking out for number one, which is themselves, that's going to be evident really quickly when they step on campus and step into our gym, because one of our core values is sacrifice. You're going to
Yeah.
have to sacrifice sometimes your playing time, sometimes your preference of position,
That's
sometimes like
hard.
you might have to sacrifice like even just your pride. And those are the players that I'm looking for, things that just you can teach, but ultimately they have to be there intrinsically for
Yes.
them to own it and want to take responsibility for it.
I think that would be very difficult because you mentioned you have 16 players. So even under the best of circumstances, 16 players are not playing in a five-set volleyball match, I'm assuming. Like, it's probably difficult to get even 12s pushing it. I mean, how many people play in a typical game? Like 8, 9, maybe 10?
Eight or nine, I would say.
But same thing with like a basketball game. Like, you might have 12 on a roster. Legitimately, we're playing 8, and 7 of you are in the rotation, maybe 6 if we have to tighten it up. So how do you navigate that? Because it's not high school where at least they get a letter and they kind of know where they are. This is a collegiate high level. These are all kids that were certainly close to stars in high school at the very worst, certainly starters and excellent players. So how do you navigate that? Because it's easy to say, I'm here for the team. Oh, wait, I'm the one who has to make the sacrifice. I feel less excited about this now. Right? So I imagine that's a difficult dynamic in college.
It definitely is because it is just a shift in mindset, one thing that I try and be completely honest with my players, like in a on a roster, you might have four middles, let's say. Only two of them are going to play in a game. And so I try and be honest where I see you. Like right now, you're my middle three. Okay. Like you're not going to be playing in a ton of games unless there's an injury or something happens and we need to put you in. But I need you to be ready to be put in. And so, like, and then honest with them, like, okay, you are my middle three, but you're not stuck at that position. Like, you have the ability to get to middle two. Here are the things I need to see before you
Sure.
can move up into that position. And so we've got a depth chart. They know where they stand in our roster and where I see them. And obviously, I encourage them, like, I'm rooting for you. Things can change.
Yeah, of
Like,
course.
it's up to you to show that to me in practice. Like, that's where you're, playing time is earned, is in practice.
Yeah.
But, as far as like keeping them happy, if you will, it's just giving them a purpose. Like, and one thing we do on our team, it's kind of silly, it's kind of childish,
I
but
like it already.
after games, we give out warm fuzzies, and they are literally just a puff ball, like a craft pom-pom, and I'll even show you one.
I love this. I get made fun of because that's how I wrap up our youth
Yes.
practices with like random compliments. This is taking it to a whole nother level, and your kids are adults, so no one can ever make fun of me again. Erica's got it all figured out. I
Yes.
love it. I love it. That's like so adorable, man.
So
That's
we
very
call them
cute.
warm fuzzies, and they get these after a game. And it's really to celebrate the non-statistical wins that we want to point out on each other. And so it's like I'm giving my warm fuzzy to Sally because she encouraged me that after I shanked three balls, she was like, just speaking truth into me. And she filled up my water bottle and gave me a slap on the back and said, I believe in you. And so really building intentionality within our team that, okay, Sally didn't get in the game, but she was so important in like getting me out of my head. And she
Love it.
helped us win that game. And we give out warm fuzzies for just like random acts like, hey, you volunteered to sweep the floor when no one was volunteering. Here's a warm fuzzy. Because
Love it.
those little things are the things that build that culture and keep people coming back for more. Because if they don't feel like they have a purpose, if they don't feel like they have a role on our team, they're going to be here and then they're going to leave to find another school where they can have more playing time. But the currency is not just playing time, the currency is belonging. And that's what we're trying to build here at Bethel.
I love
And,
it.
I learned the warm fuzzy thing from a mentor coach that I had that we did in high school. And I was like, I'm bringing this into a college program. Like,
Oh
what are they
yeah.
doing about
There's
it?
hundreds of
But
people right now
they,
that have already stolen this as this as you're
yeah.
saying this. Like, so just so you know, warm fuzzies will be everywhere. We work with our like my middle my older girls are pretty good at this. Like my younger ones, it's so funny. We had to teach them what a backhanded compliment was because they didn't mean to. But it was like the first girl was like, so and so, even though she missed all her shots, she was still nice. I'm like, okay. Well, let's focus more on like some of the non-playing things. And that one's like the other one, she dribbled off her foot four times, but she was, I was like, oh, let's not highlight, like let's get a little more positive. But no, it is so valuable in that look, what kind of culture do we want? We all say we want culture, but then we are only praising statistical performance, victories, and excellence, and we're not reinforcing what we see with their character, with their non but their words. And so if we're not reinforcing it, are we actually building the culture we say we are? So that's awesome you guys are putting your money where your mouth is. I imagine the girls get a kick out of it too. I can imagine sometimes it's serious, but often I'm not sure it gets like silly and sweet. So
And I will say, on the opposite side, you've got the warm fuzzies that make you feel warm and fuzzy, but the ones that have the like spikies coming out of them, we call those cold pricklies. So they look like this. But, those are fun and lighthearted. It's not because you played bad. It's like, hey, coach had to pick up your water bottle. Here's a cold prickly, And
that's
so
awesome.
it's fun,
Let's have
it's
some fun.
lighthearted. Yes. But I also think it goes back to, like our relationship with Christ too, because, we like often think we have to earn something. We have to do the big, great thing to get God's love and approval. But like, no, we've already gotten God's love and approval because we're his child, and because we belong. And what does he say about us? And so like, that's what we're trying to build, that it's not just about performance. It's about like what that belonging and just being able to, we want the girls to be here. And want them to be able to feel like they're a part of something.
I love it. I mean, we always say on Playing Faith that sports is the greatest dress rehearsal for life if we use it properly. And so many youth programs are missing the mark in some of these things, and it's just really cool to see it happening at, at a high level. I always say one of the biggest misnomers with the Crossroads League in general or Christian schools is that that it's not compatible with hard work, excellence, high standards. Very, very far from the truth, right? If you get through the Crossroads League, you got a good look at a national title. So
Definitely.
I mentioned earlier about we want to keep them happy or just that sense of belonging because otherwise they leave. So how long have you been coaching collegiately again?
So I just finished my second season.
That's what I
I've
thought. Okay.
been here for 2.5 years.
Okay. That's why I thought I remembered you're only a couple years in. So the dynamic in college athletics has changed a lot and it's changing quickly. We're even seeing it trickle down into Indiana where there's no more restrictions on transfers. Sophomores not playing, I'm just going to pack my bags and head to another school. So how do you kind of deal with some of those transfer, like there, that is the basic expectation, even as much as you build the culture from the outside. We are no longer wait your turn, wait 3 years. It is get it now or go somewhere else. So how do you deal with some of that, like just transfer portal insanity?
Yeah, it's hard, especially like being so relational. It's hard not to take it personally, like what did I do? But I think just recognizing like the importance of everyone, like hey, and having that relationship with them. And like I said, just being honest with them, like I see potential in you, like this is what I need you to work on. And one thing I talk a lot about is loyalty. Sometimes in college athletics, there seems like there's not a lot of loyalty anymore. It's like, I'm upset. I'm going to go find something that makes me happy. And so just being able to have some honest conversations. And I'll be honest, I lost some players and it hurts. It really does because,
Yeah.
you know, they're part of your life for a year, year and a half, and now they're not. And so, I think just being intentional about building those relationships, but also being honest with them and like giving them value beyond just the court. So, like, your value isn't tied to if you get 20 minutes or 20 points on the court or 0 points on the court. Your value is because you're part of this team. And then we also
Right.
talk a lot about the like practice squad. Like, in practice is the time to grow and challenge each other. So you might not be on the
Sure.
starting side, but you are working your tail off to prepare them to be ready for this big game.
Yeah.
And like giving them an identity, a purpose in why we're coming to practice, why, like, when you play well, you're forcing them to play better. And when you get better, our whole team gets better. And
Yeah.
so,
Like you said
I
earlier,
don't like
iron
forcing
sharpens iron,
competition
right?
against like one person against another,
Yeah.
but it's like, no, if you are getting better, this person to keep their spot is gonna have to work harder. And
Yeah.
so we talked a lot about that with our defensive specialists. Like, we have, they grew so much last year and got so much better. And as a whole, our defense was more scrappy. We are getting balls up that we never thought we'd get up. And so just because, just empowering them to make the people around them better is a motivation for some of them.
That's a great way to phrase it, because I, especially with like youth coaches, we find more with girls than boys. In practice, sometimes they are a little bit more reluctant to put their bodies on each other and be physical. Now, volleyball, obviously, it's different, but I mean, there is this, we're all teammates, and like there's almost like a holding back, and so we're constantly pushing them to the greatest thing you can do for one another is to compete your hardest. Go get after each other, and then as soon as it's over, big hugs, we're all friends again, but push each other. And we're going to elevate, but that isn't always easy, to go after your teammates every day. So, all right. So I always run long. I can't help it. We're going to switch gears a little bit. A couple last questions as we kind of put a bow on it here. So I always look at our audience as twofold. So the long form podcast, we're probably talking to a lot of parents and a lot of youth coaches. For the video clips on like the TikTok, Insta side, YouTube channel, we probably have a lot of younger athletes who are dreaming of coming and playing for Erica at Bethel someday, right? So on the parent side, what advice would you have for parents of middle schoolers, maybe early high school kids, the girls that are doing the gym rats or the Neva circuit, and they're starting to get an interest, their kids have an interest in playing collegiately. What advice would you have for parents as they kind of navigate this youth travel sports landscape?
I think the biggest thing I can tell parents is allow your child to advocate for themselves. Oftentimes, you know, the parents want to jump in after a kid gives an answer and like elaborate on it. But I'm not recruiting the parent. I'm recruiting the child. And so teaching them skills like how to have a conversation with an adult, how to, what it means to like tell a story with details, and how to, you know, work hard. Those are the things that like I'm looking for, not in the parent, but in the child. And so another thing I would give parents advice on is, I think, like, the fear that my child isn't going to be the best is so real. And I love recruiting multi-sport athletes because I think it reduces injury, it reduces burnout. So, like, don't force your child to pick a sport so early.
Yeah.
Allow them to play different sports, allow them to experience different team cultures, allow them to use different muscles. That's my biggest thing. And eventually, like, I was a basketball player growing up, and that was my sport I was going to play in college. And I didn't decide to play volleyball until my senior year in high school.
Get out.
And
How tall are you
like,
again?
I'm 6'1", so
I got I, how did they let you get? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just don't see what was your volleyball coach doing? They're kind of asleep at the wheel. You got a 6'1" collegiate level basketball player running around the halls. How is she not out there in the middle?
I know,
Oh
come
my
on.
goodness gracious. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But I think I played basketball all my life. I knew everything about basketball.
Yeah.
I played it at a high level, but volleyball was something where I learned something new every time I stepped on the court. And frankly, I got burnt out of basketball and I wanted to pursue volleyball. And so don't like pigeonhole your child into choosing early
Love it.
because like let them be a kid, let them enjoy different sports.
Yeah. We're going
And
through
they're
that
not
now
going
with
to
a lot
miss
of our
out. If they're a
kids.
good athlete, they're going to be found. So
Yeah, we go through that a lot. I mean, especially people out there, if your daughter or son are at a smaller high school, where especially with female athletes, like my best basketball players are mostly our best volleyball players, and a lot of them are good softball players. And if we threw them on a soccer pitch, they'd probably be good at that too. So they are pulled in a lot of directions, and the pressure is becoming a lot more intense at a much younger age for these very, very, very extensive travel circuits, even with like my fifth grader. And so we go through that all the time. Almost all our girls in our program do play multiple sports, and we usually tell them, look, maybe you disagree. I'll get your perspective. I think one of our advice bits has been, look, you get to sophomore year and you're a high level college prospect and you want to start traveling around the country and some of these elite teams and it's the sport you love, great. If you're in middle school, it's just way too young to give up everything and start playing 12 months a year. Plus your body's going to break. So that's been our take. Would you agree, or would you say, hey, even sophomore year, just power through it and just keep playing everything?
I think yes, there definitely comes a time when you know what sport you want to play and you want to
Yeah.
pour more energy into that. But if you can play for your school, basketball or a different sport, do it, you know, and if you
Yeah.
can fit it into your schedule. Because, like I said, it reduces injury
Yes.
from overuse, and like it just makes you stronger, and decision making in different like sports will translate into the sport that you're on, you want to do.
Yeah, love it. And I think that's something where look, even as I do this, I always worry that I'm hypocritical because it's so easy to be smart just sitting here with a headset talking to a bunch of people smarter than me every week and asking que answering questions. But, my oldest daughter's gearing to move into high school, and over the summer we talk off air. She's got multiple sports practicing every day. How do we kind of balance that? Do we take a season off? And you start feeling the pressure of if she doesn't play on this elite travel team, is she going to get left behind? So we go through it too. It's a lot of pressure on parents, but the more I talk to high-level college coaches, athletic directors, college and professional athletes, almost all of them played multiple sports all the way up to early high school, sometimes even later. Just talked to a girl who was on the short list for Indiana Miss Basketball who didn't play on an elite travel team till the summer before her freshman year. So there's a million paths to get there, and let the kid drive. I think that's what you mentioned earlier too. Let they need to be the ones making these decisions. All right, so for last one then. So for the young girls out there that are in middle school, maybe early high school, and they're saying, you know what? I think I love volleyball. I'd love to come play at some place like Bethel or a college, beyond high school. What advice would you give them from just kind of a what they need to do to prepare themselves to have opportunities at that level?
My thing that I say in the gym all the time is reps remove doubt. And so if you decide you want to play at a high level, then put in the work. Like teach yourself good work ethic, teach yourself habits that you're going to be able to use for the rest of your life. Like you'll play volleyball through college, but every lesson you learn, every amount of discipline that you put in can be translated into your work life.
For
And
sure.
so, and another piece of advice I have is be a good teammate. Like, yes, talent is important, but ultimately, coaches are looking like what kind of teammate are you? Are you willing to like be a setter who doesn't get the glory of a big kill, but you want to be the best so that you can make your hitters look good? Are you encouraging your teammates when you're down by 5 points, or are you blaming someone? And so those are all
Amen.
skills that you can learn and teach yourself. But you have to be willing to be a good teammate, because that ultimately is what's going to you're going to carry with you throughout the rest of your life. Volleyball is going to end, basketball is going to end, your sport will end, but the lessons that you learn while playing the sport will never end.
Amen, man. You wanna come play for Coach Dragic, you're gonna learn a lot. But I'll tell you what, like those same lessons are gonna make you a really good mom. It's gonna make you a really good business leader. It's gonna make you a really good community leader. It's gonna make you a very good family person, church leader. Yeah, sports is the best dress rehearsal for life, man. So I love the way you guys are doing things, and thank you so much for your time today. I always keep everyone more than a half hour, but we will be praying for you this season. We're going to be following Bethel Volleyball, and so if anyone at home wants to follow you all this season, what's the best way for them to follow the Bethel Volleyball program and kind of keep track of all the awesome stuff you're doing? How can they do that at home?
Yeah, so we post a lot on Instagram. So give us a follow on Instagram,
Love it.
BU Pilots VB.
All right. BU Pilots VB on Instagram. And then season starts, you said mid-August.
Mid-August,
All
and then we
right.
have our home opener the last week in August. So we'd love to see you at a volleyball game this fall.
Well, wonderful. Erica, Coach, thank you so much for your time today. Again, we're going to be praying for you. Thank you for stopping by Playing Faith. And I got a feeling we're going to be pestering you lots over the upcoming years. So thank you for your time, and just have an unbelievable, awesome season.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlanFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.